Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. We have Judy Wood on as our guest. So, yeah, Judy, what have there been any new developments, any new discoveries, new pictures coming in? Do you have people sending you pictures, you know?
I go out trolling for pictures. I have plenty of pictures to put up. I just haven't had the time to get to it. There are some new developments since I last talked with you. I mean, not today, but... from a few weeks or a few months back.
Yeah.
And that's what started the DIRT series. a lot of people are probably familiar with that Greg Jenkins hit piece.
Yeah.
And somebody did the transcript for me, and I was putting it up and putting in the pictures that if I had been warned of what Jenkins wanted to talk to me, I would have brought, my pictures. But I had no warning. I was yanked on the way, from the audience going to the bathroom. We just want to ask you a question. Step over here. But I was looking over that transcript and remembering the event. There's various things that Jenkins did not want me to talk about. Panic. And so I got to look at those things more carefully. What are those things he wanted me to stay away from? And you look at it more and more and you realize, he knows exactly what happened in 9/11. He needs you to stay away from it. So it was very good clues, and that is what motivated the DIRT series. He wanted to say it was all coarse dust, couldn't be fine, it couldn't have gone up, had to have gone down, and all the stuff is there. So we didn't want to admit that anything had disappeared and that it was not fine dust. So I started looking at those things more and more, and that's when I started looking at the quality of this, quote, cloud of dust, and realizing these various stages it goes through, and there's different mechanisms going on. And then I realized that the pictures, once you kind of are more key to looking at things, you go back and look over your older pictures, and by golly, you see stuff, like these dirt trucks moving in. Dirt trucks after dirt trucks. Do you remember any of that?
No, not really.
And Rudy Giuliani, I have an audio recording for the next morning of the 12th. He is bragging how he had 120 dump trucks, leaving New York City overnight, implying that he had debris being hauled away.
Just en masse, just grabbing it up and scooping it up and hauling it off.
120 dump trucks. First, what hit me when I heard that is, how does he get that many dump trucks in that mayhem?
Right.
How do you organize that? You have to organize it ahead of time. 120.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They had this all worked out, didn't they?
But not only that, now I understand what the issue is.
Think
you
about
had dirt
it.
Trucks
thought,
coming
yeah.
in.
To put this in perspective, this is the biggest crime scene in American history. There should have been thousands of people fine-tooth combing that whole area, meticulously looking at every little piece and cataloging it, photographing it. This is what you do at any crime scene, at a murder scene. This is a mass murder scene, and en masse, they're taking this debris by the ton and just quickly hauling it off to destroy it as quickly as possible. This is a felony, folks. Understand the severity of this.
Oh, no. Why do you think that it got hauled away? Because they told you it did? I start looking at the pictures, and I realize the pile gets bigger with time. It doesn't get smaller.
Oh, really?
They were bringing the trucks coming and going. That was the cover story for why the trucks were bringing dirt into the city.
Oh, in?
Yeah. You have trucks coming and going all night, so you tell people it was hauling debris away. Not that they were coming in full of dirt and leaving empty.
Oh, wait a minute. This is getting interesting. I'll tell you what, short break. We'll be right back. You got to tell me more about that.
Yeah. Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now.
Check, please. You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Okay, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Judy Wood on the line. So you're telling me that these trucks were bringing in dirt.
Yeah, my dirt series, its name. That's what the dirt's about. They're bringing in dirt.
Yeah, this is new to me. So what in the world was behind that?
Well, I'm just looking at the data. Let's not jump to conclusions. That's how I approach it. So I'm looking at this dirt. I'm not trying to say, this is the answer I want, so let me go find the evidence for it. No, I'm just saying, what is this dirt? And they're bringing this, you know, here, dirt trucks are lined up bumper to bumper coming in. And the morning of the 12th, Giuliani is bragging about 120 dump trucks. Overnight, you know, he worded it that they were leaving the city, but he didn't say they're leaving with debris in them, but he implied that. So if you were somebody who saw dirt saw trucks coming going, oh, they must have been hauling out debris. You know, and so now you have an answer, and you don't keep asking questions. You move along. And that, just like the molten metal, oh, that's why we saw fumes coming up. So you have that answer, you move along. You don't say, wait a minute, if that's that hot, why are people standing in the middle of it? So, yeah, there's plenty of dirt. Like, right after 9/11, this is in front of WFC2. There's a picture where these workers are standing, and there's brand-new potting soil, looks like potting soil, dumped all over the yard. You know, the streets, they scrub those real fast because the fumes coming up. And what do you do with the lawn? You put wet dirt on it. That's what you do for a chemical spill. And then the cover story is you're hauling out debris. But you look at it with time, the pile got bigger. It wasn't getting smaller for, you know, several weeks.
I remember when I went there, this was, a year and a half, I guess, after 9/11. And you couldn't see too good because they had this big fortress fence around it. And it was lined with this white mesh screen, so you couldn't see any details. But I do remember asking, you know, where are the foundations? I couldn't really make sense of it. It was so much junk lying around. And then when they were finally pointed out to me, the reason I didn't recognize it is because there were no holes in the ground. The foundations, which it was just like squared off, you know, two squared off areas.
Yeah, it's a square, smooth area of where the concrete base was, and the concrete base was not shattered.
Right, but they were the basements were filled in with dirt. I was expecting to see these gaping holes. No, it was all filled in with dirt.
Oh, for all that spring of 2002, there was dirt in there. So you talk about looking for body parts. Why, if you're looking for body parts, do you cover the site with dirt?
Yeah, I think that's when that was. It was April of 2002.
Yeah, and I've got a picture, or several pictures from March 2002, where you still have fumes coming up from
I think it was about a year later, so it was 2003. But in any case, I remember seeing the dirt and wondering where the heck is the... Where are the holes for, you know...
How did that dirt get there? You don't have that many potted plants up in the offices.
Yeah, right.
And there's pictures, like, you know, within a day of 9/11, where you have brand-new dirt dumped. Not scattered, but in little piles. Like somebody brought in a wheelbarrow full and dumped. And you had these bucket brigades. You know, where's the dirt coming and going from?
Now, why would you do that at a crime scene, folks? This is something that needed to be thoroughly poured over. Keep in mind, too, you know, they had cleanup, they had volunteers there from around the country, experts, who volunteered to help with the examination of the debris, forensics experts, you name it. And FEMA was holding them back. They wouldn't let them touch anything, look at anything. And, you know, I've got reams of... quotes from cleanup crew members who were expressing infuriation that FEMA was controlling everything and they weren't allowing these people to look at this debris. They were taking up their time, coming there, volunteering, and they weren't being allowed. He says, we've got the dream team of experts assembled here, and they can't touch it. They can't do anything.
Oh, yeah, don't look too closely. If we look at, like, a picture for the first time, but if somebody shows it to us and tells us what's in it, we'll accept that and not look a whole lot further. Or if you go to a crime scene, and if they tell you how to interpret it, then you don't ask them any questions. And I, you know, now with hindsight, we can see a lot of that going on. Like, apparently, they were giving slideshows to somebody of molten metal and saying, this is what we had here. So the people pretty soon start forgetting if they really witnessed molten metal or not. But there are absolutely no photos of molten metal or of a hot place. Here you have a dog running underneath, you know, down around every nook and cranny looking for survivors. His feet aren't burned. His fur isn't burned. Also, I've got an audio. I haven't put this one up yet. They're saying that they brought somebody out. This is the morning of the 13th. They were, you know, they claimed that they were moving stuff, and they lift up a beam, and there were two firemen that they rescued.
Mm.
They excavated them out. What were they doing, waiting in molten metal for 2 days? And they come out undamaged.
What were they, in the sub-basement levels?
Yeah.
Mm.
So now, I don't know if that's a true story, but this is what aired on the radio then. Because I later heard a CNN thing saying that 27 hours was the last person they pulled out. But they did pull some out the next morning of the 12th at 8 a.m. And they dug down to, they're in the sub-basements.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Anyway, about the dirt. So there's this picture of WFC1 right after the event, you have a flip car, and you know, out front, instead of it being parked parallel to the curb, it's upside down. Like, just decided to park upside down. And then you see another picture where those things have been hauled away. The debris has been hauled off the little terrace in the front yard. And then the next picture is the next day they bring in brand new potting soil, cover the terrace with it. And a week later they bring in bulldozers that scoop up the terrace and haul it away.
Is there any way to track down this trucking company to find out who they were, where they came from, where they were getting the dirt, what the motive was?
I think we as taxpayers deserve to have that information.
There's got to be a way.
With that many trucks, and certainly those dump truck drivers, who were they told that they're driving?
Yeah.
I think that's where the secrecy is about tracking who's coming and going from where. Because you got to keep somebody's mouth shut about...
I wonder if these were Halliburton contractors.
Oh, likely. Or it's further down the feeding chain. Because you don't want too many people knowing who gave what orders. But those truck drivers know when they're driving an empty truck. And they know when they're driving a full truck. So they're coming in. I've got a picture of, I think, four of them, bumper to bumper, driving south on West Street. They're north of the Trade Center complex, driving south on West Street, and, you know, nice full loads, but they're not up to the point where the guy in the street's going to see if there's anything in the truck. It's going to look empty. And they have a tarp over the load. It looks like a little bread loaf in there.
When did Giuliani make the statement again that he had all these trucks?
The morning of the 12th.
Wow.
I've got an audio of it on my dirt page.
Boy, if you could hunt down the paperwork on that and you know, confirm that this was done ahead of time, that it had to be, but I mean,
have to organize those trucks, and they knew what to expect to know to bring in the dirt. Now,
you know, that's like that Kenny. I wonder if there's some way we could find this Kenny guy, this FEMA worker. Remember he said, oh, we were the first to arrive here to help.
Oh, Tom Kenny.
Tom Kenny, yeah. To hunt him down.
Yeah, you could say that he had the dates off by mistake or something. Because, you know, he'll by now have said that, because either that, you know, or he won't be around anymore.
Yeah, well, that's like Jamie McIntyre, you know.
Right. The memory changes with time.
What a lying.
But instead of pining over what data we don't have, that's what they want us to focus on. If we look at the data we do have, we didn't have, you know, mountains of material hauled off to China. Before noon on 9/11, I've got a picture. Both towers are gone. Building 7 is still standing, so we obviously know what day it is. But from the shadows, you can tell it's before noon. The ground's horizontal. Nothing's there. They couldn't have hauled it off to China by then.
Right.
You know, in the first 20 minutes. But with this dirt, okay, so they bring in the dirt, put it on the terrace in front of WFC1, a week later scoop it up and haul it back out. Can
so
you think of any innocent explanation?
Yeah, I mean, it had to be low, like you said, you know, just to absorb the heat.
No, don't assume heat. Then you start looking at the pictures, and the one that gave me the aha moment, I've got this picture, it's on my Dirt 2 page, where we're a block or so north of the complex, just north of the toasted car lot. And you see the toasted car's on fire, so that tells you about what time it is. The car's caught on fire, or started smoldering or whatever, right after the second tower went poof. And they're not going to be really stirred up into a black cloud for another, like, 20 minutes after the tower goes. You know, it has to have time to crank up. So it's probably, like, 20 or 30 minutes after the north tower went poof. Okay, here you are north of the tower. You're upwind, and the dust cloud has cleared out, the one that went rolling along the ground. You have a clear blue sky, and you look down at the ground, and you have dust poofing up off the street. Fine, fine dust. There wasn't enough time for that fine of dust to settle out of the air.
Well, yeah, I know some pictures taken across the bay, right at the moment of collapse of the first tower, the south tower, you can see this dust rising up, glowing from some unknown light source. Where did that dust come from? The building was in the process of collapsing. Anyway, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back with Judy Wood.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Hey, we're back on Two-Thirds Radio. Got Judy Wood on as our guest. So, Judy, just so I get this in perspective here, are you saying that explosives, or you don't feel that explosives were used at all? That this was?
I'm not saying they weren't used at all.
But what's that?
You know, a single explosive here, there, or a row of them or whatever isn't going to do what we saw. I call them decoy squibs and decoy sounds because somebody hears, you know, a bang, bang, bang or whatever, then they think, oh, that must be controlled demolition. And they quit looking further. It's a way of controlling the thinking. But just looking at the data, just absorbing the data, what it's telling you. So we're back to that intersection about a block north where clear blue sky, because we're upwind, the dust has quickly settled out of the air, so it can't be fine dust. If it settles that quickly, it's not fine.
But, I mean, you think, like, Jones's findings of thermate are not valid? You don't think it was thermate?
I don't think that he has any findings of thermate. But in addition, he hasn't shown how that could do anything. I like to use the analogy of bubblegum. Let's say I find evidence that bubblegum was in the towers. Oh, therefore, we have the smoking gun. No, I have to prove to you that bubblegum could have done what we see.
Oh, yeah. I don't. There's no doubt that thermite, it's not even an explosive. It could not have pulverized.
Right. So, but it's a distraction to get you to focus on, oh, what's you know, kind of sulfur or barium or whatever's in it. But let's look at the basics.
The sulfur, yeah.
What could have happened? Now, thermite has never been used to bring down a building and control demolition.
Right.
Yeah, and how do you time it? How do you...
My take is that they probably were using multiple, you know, every trick up their sleeve. The thermite.
I think a lot of it is a cover up, because you bet the cover up was planned more thoroughly than the event.
Oh, sure.
The cover up isn't just an accident. They don't just plan the event and then let the cover up go haphazardly. However, it falls out.
And it still continues.
Right, I believe Building 7. Is part of the cover-up. That's its main purpose. It's multi-purpose for everything. But I think that's the main purpose.
I mean, you don't think that Jones himself is trying to, quote, cover things up. I mean, the guy was basically fired over this.
He wasn't fired.
Well, smoked
I lost
out.
My job. I don't have an income.
You know,
Jones has an income.
So you aren't still teaching?
No, I lost my job because of this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Jones didn't lose. He didn't lose his job. He has an income. He got early retirement.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I just figured that they had smoked him out early, though. You know, forced him into early retirement.
They were going to supposedly have investigation. We don't know what the truth is. They were supposedly going to investigate his, you know, questionable research, and then, and to stop the investigation, he did early retirement. Then they, part of the deal is they don't keep on investigating.
Oh, kind of like a plea bargain thing.
Yeah.
But so you did lose. So, wow, I didn't know you lost your job. I thought you were still teaching there. Now, what were you, a physicist there, or what was your...
Engineer. I was in the Department of Mechanical Engineering.
Oh, okay. Son of a gun. So they fired you. Oh, just over this, obviously.
It's more complicated than that, but, yeah.
Wow.
But in any case, I don't like to dwell on those kind of things. And if we wanted to dwell on those things, we could dwell at all the, you know, if somebody wants to play Bob's story.
Well, you know, I certainly hope you can find something at another less sleazy university. You know, I'm sure there's got to be something.
This is an issue with our educational system. It's just the way it has evolved. Look at the Purdue... you know, cartoon that they put out.
Sure.
What kind of educational system does that with your tax dollars?
Well, yeah, I mean that was funded by the National Science Foundation, which of course
your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, and that was personally appointed by Bush, all of its heads. So there you go with that.
But do you think that is? Ethical? That study?
Not even remotely.
Right. And what do you think would happen if a coworker pointed that out? Would he still be there?
Yeah, exactly.
Would he get any grant money?
Yeah, unfortunately, once you're blackballed in one university, that's it across the board, because they all depend on that, you know, it's all centrally controlled. People think it's just, you know, public education, quote-unquote. As if there was such a thing.
And it isn't, what do you call it, Darwin. It isn't, you know, a weeding out or whatever. It's a control mechanism.
Right.
There's always another reason for something than what is officially stated. Like why your grant is turned down, your proposal.
Yeah, it's not like somebody has to call up in Washington and say, hey, don't, you know, shut this guy up, we're going to cut the funding. They don't have to do that. It's just the natural play out of things.
It's the way it's formulated. And
right.
That brings us to another interesting...
Like, just to throw this in the mix, it's like the faith-based initiative thing. That's how it works with the churches. They don't have to tell them, hey, shut up, don't let your minister speak out against government corruption. It just works that way because they're...
Oh, they've seen what happens if you speak out.
Right. Anyway, hold the thought. You were just going to mention something. Hold that, and when we get back from the break, you can go on with that. Stick with us, folks. Be right back. What it's done to me, lose.
safe beneath it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, welcome back to True Threats Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Judy Wood on the line. So do you remember the point you were in the middle of something when the break
came? The dust and how it settled out of the air very quickly, and then it started to come up off the ground. And I think we've all seen those pictures of people coming out of their hiding places, and you notice all this fuzzy stuff around their feet. You know, the fine dust that's like this little dust cloud around their feet. But if the dust had just settled out, it can't be that fine. If it settles out of the air in like 15 minutes, it cannot be that fine. In order to get that fine of dust, the debris or dust that landed must have continued to break down and get smaller and smaller. So at, you know, an hour later, it was finer than it was when it landed on the ground. Think of that.
And what do you think caused that?
This dirt series is about looking at the different phenomena. So, you know, when the stuff's flying through the air, you see it trailing dust?
Yeah.
I call that the shaving cream or Alka-Seltzer effect. you have these steel wheat checks, I call them, flying through the air and kind of dissolving midair, streaming dust behind them. They land.
The outer casings of the buildings.
Right. Yeah. The outer columns. They're in groups, and it kind of looks like the wheat check cereal. So I've coined the term wheat checks. It's this group of three and three and three,
right,
outer columns. But they're flying through the air, streaming dust, but you look in the ground and they never landed. They dissolve before they hit the ground. But that dust settles out quickly, but continues to break down.
That's the same with the top section of the South Tower. This has been a big mystery, and there's never been an answer provided according to the pancake theory. You know, one floor collapsed on another.
Oh, it can't collapse sideways. You know, gravity goes straight.
Right.
Doesn't go diagonally.
Those that don't know, the South Tower top section, the top 20 floors or so, tilted at a sharp angle. And
then went poof and disappeared.
Yeah, it disappeared into the cloud of collapsing debris, and it was never seen again.
And the building below it disappeared, too.
Yeah, right.
Now, but here's the thing I've discovered by looking
separate.
At this dust, that, you know, stuff that just dissolves midair. Okay, and it lands, and it continues to break down. And that is what this fuming is the material continues to break down and just turn into, you know, gas or vapor or whatever, or very fine particles in the air. And that's what they needed to snuff out with the dirt. And part of the cover story is to say, oh, that's fires and it's hot molten metal. And then people quit asking questions why you have this steam-looking stuff rising. There's, on the afternoon of 9/11, there was a break in the water main on West Street, and you had this swamp, you know, kind of a lake, because the street was flooded. The street's flooded, but the shoreline has these fumes coming out. That's not molten metal next to water that somebody's wading out into. Why isn't the person getting boiled?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And also, Chernobyl, it's thought what caused that was water being superheated. It makes an explosion. So if you had molten metal and water, you should have had an explosion. Because you had how many gallons of water poured on the site? And right after that, you had this horrendous rain.
Well, that went on that's another bizarre. I mean, that went on until mid-December, or late December, December 19th.
And then they said the fires were out, but the pile continued to fume into the spring until they actually physically carted the pile of dirt away.
Yeah.
And this dirt that they carted in looks like it came from a landfill. So it has another purpose, too. It has the pens and pencils and stuff you expect to see in an office. They bring it to the site.
So you're coming at it from the premise that it was solely scalar weapons?
No. I think it's a two-step thing. I'm working on this new webpage to describe it. One of the stages you look at is, I call it lathering up. The building lathers up for its demise, like soap suds, you know, lathering up, where you see this tremendous amount of stuff frothing out of one side of the building from top to bottom. You've seen some of those pictures.
Oh, sure.
That, I believe, is something that they've released in the building. And
so you do believe there were actual explosives, right?
Because No.
You don't think
the explosives, I think, were of the point of just being a decoy.
Okay.
To a distraction. But this is pretty comprehensive. I think it's a two-step thing. You think of photographic emulsion. You know how you put your film in the freezer to get more shelf life out of it? Because it's a very slow chemical reaction by itself. But once light hits that photographic emulsion, it instantly reacts. Or pretty instantly. So you slow down, the process is by itself, but then it really zaps when
it's like a chemical reaction you're talking about on the steel?
They have some kind of chemical they released in the building. By itself, it didn't do anything, a whole lot. It's very slow acting, but you ignite it with this other thing.
A primer, yeah.
Like a beam or something, and that would allow you to control the demolition. So the beam doesn't need to be that strong. It's just a catalyst. It's like a two-part epoxy, you know. You have the resin and the hardener. And that also explains building the Benger Stress Building. Because remember when the snowball, you know, the stuff is spitting out, Tower 2 is spitting out stuff on the way down?
Yeah.
So if that had that lathering up stuff, it's spilling over onto Banker's Trust. Then when they hit it with the beam, you know, activates the part that's hit Banker's Trust. And I believe that's why you have holes in the street. If the stuff hadn't spilled into the streets, and the beam hit the street, it'd be fine. But the fact that the lathering up stuff, the chemical, flowed out onto the street and then the beam hit the street, you have a hole in the street. So this Alka-Seltzer look or whatever, that, like, in Building 7, it's the same thing. It lathers up. If I've got these pictures of Tower 1, while Tower 2 is going poof, Tower 1, they use that, you know, people are distracted by watching the clouds roll out from Tower 2, but Tower 1 is just pretty lathering up big time. But then it comes to a noticeable stage, so they crank back the knob and quit lathering it up. Which makes me think, this is just speculation, that it could have been introduced to the ventilation system. But it's so thorough. It, like, you've seen that picture of Building 7? From top to bottom, it looks like smoke pouring out every orifice of one of the faces.
Yeah.
Imagine if that's a chemical that when you hit it with a particular beam, it just annihilates that material.
So we're obviously dealing with a technology that, if that's indeed the case, that, the public is not privy to.
Right.
Which shouldn't surprise us, because we know that they have,
Right. And I'm just looking at what the evidence is showing us.
You can even get most people to acknowledge that they're engaging in weather modification, but they admit that they've been doing this for decades.
Oh, there was an article in a paper like a couple years ago from China that they had a problem with dust, and so they ordered up rain to get rid of the dust that was in the city.
Yeah, that was in Malaysia. That was in the Wall Street Journal that talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a convenience thing. So right.
They contracted with the Soviet Union or Russia to create a typhoon to get rid of the dust. Yeah, remember that.
They can. It's amazing what they can do, but they keep us distracted. So
right.
What? Why do you think? If you're going to have a cover up of 9/11, if you were going to use some kind of new high tech weapon, you'd need a good cover up, wouldn't you? Because you're going to have people asking questions.
Yeah.
So what do? You give them an answer. You funnel them over here so you can control their thinking. People don't like to think that their thinking is being controlled. But think of the afternoon of 9/11. What were you thinking then compared to what you're thinking now? You had a trick played on you. We all did. And that shouldn't be... an embarrassment. What it should be is that we start asking questions now. Ask questions of everything. Does this make sense?
Yeah, exactly. And when you stop doing that, that's when you,
You fall in.
Right. No, I'm always for an open mind.
I see these pictures that were taken on the afternoon of 9/11 or at noon on 9/11. You don't have much material, and then you hear the story that the steel was all hauled off to China or wherever. Now I see the reason for that story.
Well, it turns out, I guess, a great deal wasn't actually sent. I think that was a distraction, too, because they turned some of it now into a Navy ship. A lot of it is still being kept at the JFK
I think they pretty much
airport.
Had to have shipped some somewhere so they could...
Yeah.
They actually proved, at least two steel beams, so they could say the beams... Plural, they can be honest, too. Beams were sent to wherever.
Well, I know there was that one truck that had some material that was taken down to the docks there, and it was being tracked by satellite, that no one could touch it. And
yeah, they wouldn't want anyone to see it. That's another symptom I found of what was going on is the rust. You were around Ground Zero shortly after the event, weren't you? Did you see this tremendous rust instantly?
I don't remember seeing rust.
There's, like the toasted car lot. That's a couple blocks away, that car park.
I was there like a year, probably a year and a half later.
Oh, okay. There's a car park a couple blocks away from Ground Zero. It was on fire. But there's nothing in fire in between. There's just paper in the streets right after the towers go poof. There's paper in the streets. How that those cars get on fire? And then after the fire it gets put out, they're tremendously rusted. Steel does not rust that fast.
Yeah, there's some kind of corrosive
Iron rusts that fast. Steel has these other little tiny doodads in there that keep it from rusting.
Right, right.
That's why they like to use steel to build skyscrapers.
Structural steel is not made to...
How do you get stuff instantly rusting? Or pretty much instantly? It's been turned into iron. It's because the molecules have been dissociated. We're talking about the tail end of whatever the effect was. It wasn't a thorough disintegration.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of the beams being stacked up ready to be hauled away, and they're red.
They're what?
They're red in color. They're rusted.
Oh, there's Rust-Oleum or whatever on them, or the primer paint on them. But there's also, steel pipes, like plumbing pipes, that look like they're spray-painted orange.
Mm.
That's on my Dirt 4 page. And I believe the picture of the digger pulling up something glowing that Jones liked to show, and it says that's evidence of molten metal. I think that is done as a cover story. I call it the Cheeto picture because there's this pipe on the ground that's uniform color orange. And that trains you to say, oh, if I see any more of that orange stuff in these pictures, that must mean molten metal or hot metal, not rust. And there's a picture also I have on that page where you see the fumes coming up from the pile, and you notice it's orange. The steel is fuming orange, rusty color of smoke. In other words, it's the material is just coming apart and turning into vapor. We don't need to know how it happened in order to see that something is causing that.
What's the percentage of bodies, do you know, that they claim to have found remains from? I mean, aren't a great many of them still totally unaccounted for?
I think in those audios I have of right afterwards, what Giuliani was saying, something like 40 bodies they had parts to.
That's it?
Yeah.
Maybe
the number got up to 100 or so after that, or 200, but nothing like 3,000.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, there was roughly, 2,500 people, and they only found 300 or 400 body parts representing 300 or 400 people. Now, what does that tell you?
Yeah, where are the computer screens? How many computers do you think were in that building?
I mean, it's almost like they were, vaporized. You can't have that happen, folks.
Hey.
When they cremate somebody, the bodies are cooked to about 3,000 degrees to turn them to ash.
There's different chemical process, but the dirt thing kind of implies a chemical process. But I believe that there's something that sets it off, that excites it. It's a whole lot of interesting, it's the best mystery story. Very intriguing.
Well, obviously, to get that debris out the way they did, and lying to people about the condition of the air just so they could hurry up and get in there and get the debris out.
What was in the air? Think about it. If this material is coming apart, just dissolving midair, and then for days, you need to see my dirt series. There's these satellite images, like from the next day, where you have the fuming is going up into the upper atmosphere. Why does the building continue to come apart? Dissolving up into the air. Now, imagine the people who are breathing it. Whatever that chemical was that causes things to disintegrate, what does it do when it gets in your body?
Well, here they are. I mean, they're dying in droves, guys, left and right. And the media isn't covering this. They're not getting any help. They're not getting any funds for their medical costs. Look at that one guy, Vito Valente. I had him on here. He's not doing too good. I want to see if he can come on the show again sometime.
Oh, I would love to talk with him and ask him about these various things. Not what he was told to believe about what he saw, but ask him the actual questions.
He doesn't necessarily see 9/11 as an inside job, but he knows that they've been lying, and they certainly lied to him and his buddies that helped clean up.
Yeah, why?
Exactly. Tell you what, we're running out of time here. We got Marie, who's called in from New England. Welcome, Marie.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, welcome.
All right. Well, I do have a couple questions for your very interesting guest. And sorry if I repeat things that you've already gone over, because It's very difficult getting your program on the website. I mean, getting your program on the shortwave. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We might have
a break. Yeah, if we have to go into a break, just stick with us and you can pick up after the break. But go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a few questions. What was the goal of your research? Do you have any theories? And how do you explain the foaming that you described? What was the purpose of the Durrett? What do you plan to do with all your research? And do you have a book coming out? And would you please repeat your website?
Those are some good questions, Marie. Thank you. Website is drjudywood.com, drjudywood.com.
W-O-D?
W-O-O-D.
Oh, all right.
drjudywood.com. So it's drjudywood.
.com.
Yep. All right. Thank you. And so could you answer some of those questions?
Yeah. My goal has been
to... Yeah, I've got to go a break. Marie, you can stick on the line if you want with us, and we'll be right back after the commercials.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Okay, we're back here on Truth Hurts Radio. Got a few more minutes left with Judy Woods. Yeah, Judy, did you remember some of the questions?
Yes, I did. As for a book, yes, and perhaps two. But what my priorities are, if they were to make money, I'd be doing the book full time. But my priorities are to expose what really happened. That's the most important thing, and to do whatever we can do to get the bad guys and hold.
I guess she wanted a brief summary of what you think was used to take the towers down. I guess she wasn't able to hear.
What was used to take the towers down? I'm not sure. Oh yeah, what she asked. That's not the scientific method.
Well, you know, I've always said when it comes to 9/11, the important thing is not to know what did happen so much as what didn't. And we know what didn't happen.
Yeah, and I've been ruling out things left and right, like gravity collapses out of the picture.
Elimination, right.
But then
right.
What you see what happened, don't limit yourself by what you know about. Like, well, I only know about slingshots, so it had to be a slingshot or nothing. Greg Jenkins liked to say it took five times the Earth's energy to destroy the towers. Or, you know, so that means they're still there?
Marie, are you going to say something?
I was going to say, with all that information that I've been able to hear her describe, it seems to me there is a tremendous paper trail, or there ought to be some type of either some form of a paper trail.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier, but who knows? They could have destroyed that by now.
You need to look at the front page of my website. I have a section on things I've been doing, confronting the powers that be. We filed RFCs, that's requests for corrections, in March, and also have done several other things. If we think it's directed energy weapons used, you know, what I call directed energy weapons doesn't mean it's conventional. It means it's a weapon that uses energy and it can be directed, rather than something that's not controllable.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a correspondence with the Directed Energy Directorate's office, top of the military operation in Kirtland Air Force Base, and a response. They refused to deny the directed energy weapons were used. Like they took the Fifth Amendment.
Are you referring to neutron type of weapons?
I'm not being specific and specifying exactly. You know, as I say, I'm not giving the serial numbers, but it's this category. If I don't know of a new gizmo they have, like I'm looking at the evidence. The evidence is consistent with some kind of chemical being in the building that was then triggered by a beam. That's how you could control how the building disintegrated, in what order. But I don't know what that gizmo is. I don't know how it operates. But, okay, ask the Energy Directorate's office, and they're mum about it. They don't say, oh, no, a directed energy weapon couldn't have done that. They did not say that.
Well, in the research, if you don't find a hard paper trail, there ought to be some way to investigate computer trails.
That would be good to do, and with Freedom of Information Act and so forth. But it's hard for an individual to do that. It would be terrific if somebody would come forward who was asked to do some of these things and didn't realize why they're being asked.
We can only hope. Unfortunately, we've kind of run out of time. I got to have you on again sometime, Judy. Keep up the good work. Keep digging. The answer's out there. Maybe some scientists will come forward at some point. Thanks, Marie, for the call. And have a great day, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
A message for all homeowners.